Thank you, Sam. Good to see you, brother. Good evening, everyone. Good to see y'all. Will you pray with me? Father, as we come before your throne of grace this evening, God, I pray that you would just fill us with your Spirit now, that you would give us the mind of your Son, Jesus. God, that we would be able to worship you in spirit and truth, and to know that, Father, as we submit to you and draw near to you, Father, that you will draw near to us. So, God, we pray right now in the name of your Son, Jesus, that you would grant us the sweet blessing and the sweet grace of your presence with us, that we would know that you are with us through your Spirit tonight. God, I know that just from conversations that I've had with some of the folks tonight, I know today's been a full day in many ways for many of us. And so God, I pray even now that you would just allow us to just have this time of worship with you and for you. God, that you would grant us just your peace, and to be still and to know that you are our God, and that everything that we need, everything that we desire that's of you, will be granted to us through your Son, Jesus. God, help us to take peace in you this evening and to know that you have given us your Spirit as a blessing, to know that Jesus is with us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want you to know this evening that I am really excited about tonight's passage. I'm excited about tonight's text out of John chapter 15. And I'm always excited about God's Word. I mean, it's what I do. It's what I live for, right? But tonight's passage, I really love studying and I really love teaching on the Holy Spirit, and I hope tonight is a huge encouragement to you. And so what I would like to do tonight is a little something different. I'd like to actually read the passage before I start discussing it. So if you would, open up your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And I would just like to read verses 18 through 27. This is sort of the larger passage, the larger text here. And if we can begin in verse 18, Jesus says, "If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all of these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned. Now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well." And look at verse 25. "But they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." And here are two verses tonight. "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me." And look at verse 27. "And you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning." Now the point of this passage, this particular passage, verses 18 through verse 27, The point of this part of John chapter 15 is to ready the disciples with the truth that Jesus is being persecuted and will be persecuted unto death. When Jesus leaves them and he returns back to the Father, they too will be persecuted because they are not greater than their master, right? So why did Jesus tell the disciples all of this? What's the purpose in telling them that they too will be persecuted and hated on account of him? What's the point? I mean, wouldn't it maybe perhaps be just something that Jesus could have just ignored and not have told the disciples of what was coming? Well, ignorance isn't always bliss, is it? But Jesus tells them what's about to happen to them because of him. Jesus tells them all of this because the purpose in their persecution, the purpose in their hatred by the world will be to testify about Christ. This is the point. This is the message that Jesus is giving to his men. You will encounter persecution and hatred by the hands of godless men in order to testify about me as they hate you and as they persecute you. Now, how is that for a vision statement for your life? Let me slow down a minute and ask this question. What does every follower of Jesus need when they are facing times of persecution and hatred? What does every follower of Jesus need when they are facing times of hatred and persecution and suffering? Very simple. Jesus. There's your Sunday school answer. That's actually right on this Sunday. This is what every follower of Jesus needs when they are facing times of persecution from others, hatred from others, and suffering on behalf of others. They need Jesus. This is why Jesus said to the disciples in his great commission, he said to them at the very end, some of the last words that Jesus ever said to his disciples, he said to them, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am always with you." Now this begs the question, how will Jesus always be with them? If he's about to leave them, and we've already said this, he tells them, "I'm leaving and where I'm going, you cannot come right now." He's about to leave them and go to be with his Father. How is it that Jesus will always be with the disciples when he's about to leave them? If he is about to be taken up into glory as a man, a human being, and he is now sitting at the right hand of the Father in glory, how then can Jesus be with his disciples to the end of the age while sitting next to his Father in glory? Did Jesus lie to his disciples? Did Jesus pull off one of the greatest scams of all time? No, he did not. You see, there is another way for Jesus to always be with his disciples, and all of the disciples for that matter, even to the end of the age. And that way is through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. This is why it will be to their advantage, Jesus will say later on in John 16, it will be to their advantage that Jesus goes away, for when Jesus goes away to be with the Father in glory, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, will come to them and abide in them. But what would be the ultimate purpose in Jesus sending the Helper to come and dwell in his disciples? What will be the ultimate purpose in the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Comforter, coming and indwelling in his disciples? There are many reasons and many ministries of the Holy Spirit, no doubt, indwelling Jesus' disciples. But what would be the main reason for Jesus sending the Helper to the disciples? Look at verse 26 and 27 again. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, what will He do? Say it out loud. You can say it out loud. He will what? Testify about Me. And look at what He says. He follows it up. And you will testify also about Me. So we're starting off a little bit differently than I normally start off my sermons, because I just want us to be able to feel the weight of this passage in John chapter 15. I want us to be able to see exactly what is going on at the end of John 15, because most of us think about John 15, we think about the vine and the branches, right? And we may get to the point where we think about John 15 and we think about the disciples' relationship with each other and how they're supposed to love one another. But rarely do we think about this last part of John chapter 15 when we think about John 15 and the disciples and their relationship with the world. And really and truly, that might actually make up most of our days, doesn't it? Actually, our relationship with the world rather than our relationship with even one another. We spend more time in the world and with the world than we do with each other. And yet, this part of the passage in John chapter 15 often is the one that gets neglected the most in John chapter 15. So this is what Jesus says to them again in John chapter 15 verse 26. He says, when the Helper comes, who I will send from the Father, He tells them the Helper is coming. We are going to send the Helper to you. The Father and Me are sending the Helper to you. He's coming. So who is the Helper? We know by now that the Helper is the Holy Spirit. We know this from when we studied John chapter 14 4 years ago. That was a joke. John chapter 14, listen to verse 16 and 17. This is where Jesus first introduces the Helper. He said, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may be with you, how long? Forever. That is the Spirit of truth, Jesus says. Do you remember one of the key words in John chapter 14, verse 16, that I just read? You remember one of the key words? We know by now that the Helper is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, when the Helper comes and I will send Him from the Father, He will be what? Another Helper. What's one of those key words there? Another. You remember the word another means one of the same kind. So just as Jesus was a Helper to the disciples, so too will the Spirit of truth be a Helper to them. He is the same kind of Helper as Jesus. And in this word and in this understanding, we know that the full meaning of the word another emphasizes the deity of the Holy Spirit as God. That was the key word about another. I will send you another Helper, same as Me, just like Me. And we know that the full implication of that meaning of another has to do with the deity of the Holy Spirit. The Helper, the Spirit of truth, is God. The Holy Spirit, just as Jesus is God. So why is He called the Helper? Why is He called the Helper? Because He will help the disciples in many ways, won't He? He will help them remember everything that Jesus said to them. He will help them by empowering them to do ministry. He will help guide them into truth. He will teach them. He will inspire them to write holy, Spirit-wrought Scripture. He will glorify and testify about Jesus to them and through them, which is really what sums up every ministry of the Helper, the Holy Spirit. It is a ministry of testifying about Jesus and helping the disciples testify about Jesus to the world. Have you ever thought about the Holy Spirit in this way? Have you ever thought about the Holy Spirit all day long helping you testify about Jesus? Because what does Jesus say here in John chapter 15? Why He's coming? He's coming to what? Testify about Me. Now you have to stay with this right here. Most of you are familiar with things that I've already said. I understand this. But this right here is building upon something that is going to be, at least it was for me, very convicting. Very convicting in the sermon prep this week. So the Helper will indeed be a helper to these disciples. And notice also in verse 26. Look at verse 26. Notice the union of Jesus and the Father. Notice the union of Jesus and the Father in sending the Helper to them. Jesus says, "Whom I will send to you from the Father." I will send from the Father. I will do this from the Father, with the Father. Together we see once again this Trinitarian union and work of the Godhead. How many times have we seen Jesus profess His deity, right? In the Gospel of John. And so many times we're wondering, does Jesus ever really claim to be God? Every now and then you might get that knock on your door, right? And that's these men and women from the cults, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and they're knocking on your door and they're trying to convince you, really ultimately, that Jesus is not God. Come buy into their doctrine. Come buy into their religion. Jesus nowhere in the gospel says that He's God. Really? How many times have we seen this already in the Gospel of John? Right? Over and over and over again. There's no such thing as a Trinity. That's what they believe. There's no such thing as a Trinity. Really? I will send you what? What kind of helper? Another helper? Just like Me. So once again, we see this Trinitarian work of the Godhead. The Father and the Son will send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to the disciples. He will be with them and He will be in them. The Holy Spirit will soon indwell the disciples at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. They will be empowered by the Spirit to be Jesus' witnesses. The Holy Spirit as the Helper will indeed help them testify about Jesus. He is indeed another Helper. Amen. He is indeed this. But Jesus again in verse 26 gives further understanding about the Helper. What does Jesus say again about Him in verse 26? He says that when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about Me. The Helper that Jesus is saying that the Father will send and give to them is the Holy Spirit of truth. Is the Holy Spirit of truth. Jesus first calls the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, back in John chapter 14, right? I've already read it. He says it again in John chapter 15. He calls Him the Spirit of truth in John chapter 15. He's going to say it again in John chapter 16. He's going to call Him the Spirit of truth. So this title must be of importance. Why would the Holy Spirit be called the Spirit of truth? When Jesus first called Him the Spirit of truth in John chapter 14, it was right after Jesus told the disciples a verse that you are very familiar with. Jesus says, "I am the way, the what? The truth, and the life." And then later on, He says, "When I send the Helper to you, who is the Spirit of truth." So the Father is going to give the disciples the Spirit of truth from Jesus as well, in order to bear witness of Christ, who is the truth to them. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, is going to teach them and to remind them of all the truths pertaining to Jesus. This is what the ministry of the Holy Spirit is going to do for these disciples. Can you imagine every word that proceeded out of Jesus' mouth was from whom? The Father, right? So the Father is speaking words through His Son Jesus. The Spirit is now given to them in order to remind them of all the words that the Father and the Son had spoken about Jesus. That is amazing. That is amazing to me. That right there is a grace. It is a means of grace of God the Father for these disciples. And by the way, we are the disciples as well. Amen? And we have been given the Spirit to remind us. To remind us of the truths about Jesus. Because left alone in your flesh, you would forget truth. You would forget revelation about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is given to us so that we might be able to know truths about Him, because He is the Spirit of truth. Therefore, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, is full of truth as well. So it is right for Him to be called the Spirit of truth, for He will testify of the truth about Jesus. You know, we have studied this word testify many times in John already. Do you remember what it means? A little Bible trivia here for us. Have to flip back to Life Group about 2 years ago. The word testify means to give and to not hold back testimony. Think about this. The word testify means to give and to not hold back testimony. Oftentimes when we get a definition on a word, it doesn't have necessarily a positive and a negative. But this word actually does. And it carries the meaning of giving testimony and not holding anything back that's true of the testimony, of your witness. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, as God, knows all truth. Amen? He knows all truth. Especially truth about Jesus. So the Helper will testify, and He will not hold back testimony of the truth about Jesus. This will be the Helper's ministry. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to testify about Jesus. That is His ministry. How does the Holy Spirit testify about Jesus? He testifies to the souls of men that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The Helper testifies about Jesus to the conscience of men. The Helper testifies about Jesus to the hearts of men. He testifies about Jesus so that Jesus would be glorified in the world. I was just talking to one of the elders here at Hickory Whiff earlier before the service, and we were talking about, he told me, man, I grew up Catholic. And I said, well, me too. And so we got to talking about just our Roman Catholicism, and he was an altar boy and everything. And I was like, man, this sounds very similar to my story. And he said, and I told him about my story, about how up until about 12, I wanted to be a priest. That shock y'all? I wanted to be a priest. And I said, but when I was 15, I went to a small Baptist church and I heard the gospel for the first time. And so he tells me, he was like, man, it was at a Baptist church in Dallas. Even though I grew up Catholic, it was at a Baptist church in Dallas where I heard the gospel for the first time. He said, and then Brother Steve walks through, one of the deacons here, and he's like, what are you guys talking about? And I said, well, he's talking about how he was raised Catholic, and I was raised Catholic, and we both heard under the preaching of a Baptist preacher the gospel for the first time. And Steve comes in and he says, I was saved at a Baptist church. And I said, weren't we all then? Realizing I was talking to Presbyterian elders and deacons. We were all saved underneath Baptist preachers. Amen. Those are the only ones that can save you. But Bob went on to tell me, he said, can I tell you how I was saved? And I was like, yeah, go ahead. He said, I'd been under the preaching and I heard the gospel for the first time, but I was sitting on a softball field about to play softball. And I was sitting in the dugout. And man, I just got this overwhelming sense of my lostness before God that I had never known before. And he said, right there in the dugout before a softball game, I cried out to God and I asked him to save me and to give me whatever it is that I needed in order to be right with him. Now, isn't that a sweet testimony for this sermon right here that I just heard like 30 minutes ago? Because this is how the Holy Spirit testifies of the truth of Jesus. It can be on a softball field. Right there, in the midst of others playing the game of softball, he had the urge by the Spirit to cry out to God because the Spirit awakened him and regenerated him to the truth that Jesus is his Savior. How does the Spirit testify about the truths of Jesus? Just like that. And all of you probably can raise your hand and say a similar testimony of how God saved you. What they teach us in seminary is actually very few people are saved in a sermon at church, right? Most people are saved outside of the gathering. But see, this is the helper's ministry. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to testify about Jesus. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to testify about Jesus and to glorify Jesus in that testimony. John chapter 16, verse 14, listen to this. You're familiar with this. The Spirit of truth, Jesus says, will glorify me. So Jesus says that the Father and the Son are going to send the Helper. And he will what? Testify of me. And then later on in John 16, he said, when we send the Helper, he will what? Glorify me. Those two things go together. Testifying and glorifying Christ go together. And that's exactly the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit of truth will glorify me. And so we must see tonight that this is the ministry of the Paraclete. This is the ministry of the Comforter. This is the ministry of the Helper. He will be sent by Jesus and the Father into the world in order to testify about Jesus so that Jesus will be glorified. This once again shows us that Jesus is the one who must be made much of, even in regards to the ministry of the Holy Trinity. Because you have both the Father and the Spirit who are pointing to whom? The Son, Christ. They are both testifying about Jesus. How did the Father testify about Jesus? This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to Him. And now we know that the Spirit is going to be sent in order to testify and glorify the Son. Both the Father and the Spirit want people to look at God the Son, the second person of the Godhead, to consider Christ as the Savior of the world. He was sent by the Father into this world, and so the Father and the Son have sent the Holy Spirit in order to testify about Jesus, in order to glorify Jesus in the world. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Helper. So when the devil, any of you know the devil? No, I mean know him. Do you know him? Because he is your enemy. So when the devil is trying so hard to create lies about Jesus and who Jesus is, in the thoughts of mankind, the Spirit of truth reveals the truth about Jesus. He communicates truth about Jesus. He overcomes the lies about Jesus in those whom the Father has given Jesus to come to Him. This is the ministry of the Helper, the Spirit of truth. He will testify about Jesus. The Holy Spirit, the Helper, is a testifier about Jesus. You with me? Because this, to me, is where it really got convicting in sermon prep this week. Not only is the Holy Spirit going to testify about Jesus, but Jesus in verse 27 tells His disciples what they will be doing as well. Look at verse 27. And you will also testify because you have been with me from the beginning. Now you know where this is going, right? You already know where this is going. So what's the aim of sending the Spirit of truth to abide with and in the disciples? What's the aim? What's the aim here of sending the Spirit to be with and to abide in the disciples? Well, it is to help them testify of the truth about Jesus through the disciples. You see, this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Helper abiding in them. The Helper will help the disciples testify about Jesus as well. You understand? The Helper will help the disciples remember everything that Jesus had taught them about Himself. The Helper will help empower the disciples to testify about Jesus. You remember what Jesus told the disciples in Acts chapter 1 verse 8? These were actually perhaps the last words of Jesus to His disciples. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, He tells the disciples, listen to this, listen. You know it, but listen again. But you will receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my what? Witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. So if the ministry of the Holy Spirit being sent by the Son and from the Father is to testify about Jesus, and the Father and the Son send the Spirit to indwell His people, then what is the aim of the ministry of the Spirit of truth indwelling His people? What is it? You can say it. To testify. To testify. This is one of the reasons why the Apostle Paul speaks against the sin of quenching the Holy Spirit and grieving the Holy Spirit in us. For those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, He is constantly leading us to bear witness and to testify about Jesus and to glorify Jesus. Is He not? Is He not? So when we do not testify in those moments when He is leading us to testify, we quench the Holy Spirit in His ministry to testify through us. When we hold back testimony in those moments when we are to testify about Jesus, we grieve the Holy Spirit who abides in us. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in you. You are being used as a vessel of honor by the Holy Spirit, the Helper, in order to help you testify and give witness about Jesus. This is why you have those thoughts. Listen to this. This is why you have those thoughts in a moment's time to talk to somebody that's a stranger about Jesus. Just out of nowhere, you have that thought in your mind. Tell them about me. Tell them about Jesus. This is why in a moment's time you have that deep down urging in your soul to share the gospel with your neighbor. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in you, helping you as the Helper, helping you to testify about Jesus. This is the reason that Jesus is teaching His disciples in this moment about the ministry of the Spirit of Truth, the Helper. You see, think about the disciples again, right? This is who we're talking about. The disciples are about to encounter much hatred and persecution, and Jesus is telling them that the Helper will help them testify about Him as well. He's not giving them a strategy of escaping. He's not giving them a strategy on how to dodge the haters. What is He telling them? He's actually telling them and giving them what they need, and they need Him in this moment. And how does He give them Him? He gives them Him through the Spirit. I will be with you always. Go testify about me. Jesus at the end of verse 27 says, "And you will testify also because you have been with me from the beginning." These disciples will be able to testify about Jesus because they have been with Jesus since the very beginning of His ministry. They have heard the words that Jesus spoke. They have heard the teachings about His deity. They have heard the words about Him testifying about Him being the Messiah, God in the flesh. They have seen sign after sign, miracle after miracle of the proof that Jesus is who He says He is. They can give truthful testimony because they have been with Jesus from the beginning of His ministry. They have heard what He has to say and they have seen what He has done. Now I want you to read with me and listen to the first few verses of John's first epistle. Turn over to 1 John real quick. Wow. You can't even make this stuff up if you tried. What did He tell the disciples here in verse 27? You will also what? Testify about me, right? Now listen to what John writes in the first four verses of his first epistle. John says, "What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have heard, and what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen," and what? If you got the right translation, it's got the right testify, the word testify right there. "And the life was manifest, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. We have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write, so that our joy may be made complete." This is the first passage of Scripture I ever memorized. at 16 years old. My brother had us memorize the first chapter of 1 John back in 1991. So, the first thing that John writes about in his first epistle is giving testimony of what he has seen and what he has heard. Folks, this is pure discipleship at its core. Pure discipleship. Jesus tells the disciples to testify about me. John then turns around and testifies about Jesus. You know what pure discipleship looks like? It's called obedience. It's obedience. This is what John does. Jesus says, you will testify about me. John says, okay, we have seen him. We have heard him. We proclaim to you, we testify to you what we have seen and what we have heard, so that you might have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. And I'm writing all this to you so that our joy may be made complete in you. I mentioned earlier that the word testify means what? Were you listening? Miss Lori's usually on top of that. I'll give her a break tonight. The word testify means to give and not hold back testimony. Right? Now listen. In a court of law, what is a witness in a trial expected to do? They are expected to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. A witness testifies by telling the truth and the whole truth, and they are not expected to hold back any testimony. Jesus tells his disciples that they will testify about him also. They are expected to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about Jesus. They will be able to do this because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Helper, who will be abiding in them very soon. If you remember, in John 15, in this passage, Jesus is telling the disciples what their relationship with the world is going to be like. It is not going to be pleasant. It will be filled with hatred and persecution from the world on account of Jesus. But it will be like this in order for Scripture to be fulfilled. Jesus then tells them that the Spirit of Truth, the Helper, will be sent by Jesus from the Father in order for Him to testify about Jesus, and that the disciples will also testify about Jesus. So let's get the big picture here. I want you to get the big picture of what Jesus is doing at the end of John chapter 15. Even in the midst of hatred and persecution from the world is an opportunity to testify about Jesus to those who are hating and persecuting them. There is perhaps no greater testimony than the testimony of those who remain faithful to Jesus while being hated, persecuted, abused, and even killed. And what we have seen and what we have read, story after story of many martyrs, many of them, if not most of them, absorb the persecution and the suffering and the hatred with great resolve and peace, don't they? This is what we hear. This is what we read. We read about those who have been killed and martyred for Christ in such a great resolve and peace. Folks, we must know and realize that the Holy Spirit, the Helper, desires to bear witness of Christ through us. This is His ministry in us. May we always be obedient to His leading us to testify about Jesus and to never quench or grieve Him by holding back testimony regarding Jesus to others. One day, you and I will stand before the eternal judge in His courtroom. Today, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about Jesus? Most of you here have been transformed by the gospel. You have tasted and you have feasted upon God's grace, His mercies, His forgivenesses through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel. Will you testify of Jesus to others? Could you say, like John, I have seen Him work. I have heard the words of Christ. And I proclaim to you the testimony of my Savior, Jesus Christ. There are some of you here who have heard the testimony of Jesus' life and ministry, and you remain in your sin. You have heard the testimony of Jesus, and you remain in your sin. Turn to Christ. Turn to Jesus. Repent of sin. Trust the gospel. Find your peace and your joy in Jesus Christ alone. May the Spirit of truth who abides in us continue to fill us with all power and courage and confidence in Christ in order to testify about Jesus. Because how many of you tonight can testify that He is worthy of our testimony? He is worthy of our proclamation, just like John said. And isn't it interesting that John says that we proclaim all of these truths about Jesus. We proclaim this and we write this not for your joy, but for whose? Our joy. Man, that's what's so incredible about being a witness and a testifier of Christ. It is for your joy. It is for your joy. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for sending the Helper to us. And God, I just, along with just being in my sermon prep this week, I confess to You that I'm sorry that I have quenched the Spirit and grieved the Holy Spirit, the Helper, in holding back testimony regarding Your Son to others. God, there are people in my mind right now who I know that I need to testify to Jesus about. And for whatever reason, whether it's laziness, whether it's fear, God, help us to overcome the sin of quenching and grieving the Spirit and being a testifier of Jesus. God, help us to boast greatly in the cross this week. Thank You for the reminder of what the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Helper, is to us. For it is in these reminders that stir us, help us to be obedient, help us to obey. Because we know that our joy is in obedience, in testifying and proclaiming about Christ. God, help us. And thank You for sending the Helper. And God, I do pray for those in this room tonight who have yet to taste and feast upon the grace of Jesus in His death, burial, and resurrection. God, would You help them to see their need for Christ, Holy Spirit, would you help them as the Spirit of truth to know the Son as the Christ, the living God. And may they forever live for Jesus. God, thank you for the ministry of your word tonight to us. Holy Spirit, please help us. Help us to testify with you. We know that that's what you're doing in us. Thank you for the sweet words tonight from John 15. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.